श्रीमती भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी इति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टिके श्रीमद् भागवतम थर्ड कैंटो फिफ्थ चैप्टर टेक्स्ट 31 Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The senses are certainly products of the modes of passion in false ego, and therefore philosophical speculative knowledge and fruitive activities are predominantly products of the mode of passion. Please repeat after me. The senses are certainly products of the mode of passion in false ego, and therefore philosophical speculative knowledge and fruitive activities are predominantly products of the modes of passion. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The chief function of the false ego is godlessness. When a person forgets his constitutional position as an eternally subordinate part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and wants to be happy independently, he functions mainly in two ways. He first attempts to act fruitively for personal gain or sense gratification, and after attempting such fruitive activities for a considerable time, when he is frustrated, he becomes a philosophical speculator and thinks himself to be on the same level as God. This false idea of becoming one with the Lord is the last snare of the illusory energy which traps the living entity into the bondage of forgetfulness under the spell of false ego. I'll repeat this sentence again. This false idea of becoming one with the Lord is the last snare of the illusory energy which traps the living entity into the bondage of forgetfulness under the spell of false ego. The best means of liberation from the clutches of false ego is to give up the habit of philosophical speculation regarding the absolute truth. One should know definitely that the absolute truth is never realized by the philosophical speculations of the imperfect egoistic person. The absolute truth or the Supreme Personality of Godhead is realized by hearing about Him in all submission and love from a bona fide authority who is a representative of the 12 great authorities mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. By such an attempt only can one conquer the illusory energy of the Lord, although for others she is unsurpassable, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 7:14. So, what's the verse in Bhagavad Gita 7:14? Daive jhesha gunamai mama maya durattaya mame vaje prapaddante maya metan parantite. So, in this chapter, it has been very wonderfully explained how different aspects of material nature become manifested. The pradhan mahatattva, ahankar, and here it has been described how this ahankar or false ego, due to its interaction with different modes of the material nature, gives rise to different aspects of material nature. The Vedic philosophy very elaborately describes about different elements of the material nature. And the Sankhya philosophy very elaborately described the different 24 different considerations of material nature. The five elements, the five senses, the five objects of the senses, five working senses, four fives are 20, then three subtle elements, and then mahatattva, the basic ingredient for material creation. Prakriti, the material nature, has an element. The material nature actually becomes manifested due to the transformation of that element, known as mahatattva. Therefore, the material nature has two stages of existence. The material nature is sometimes vyakta and sometimes avyakta. Avyakta dini bhutani bhakta madhani bharata. This material nature has a stage called avyakta or unmanifest. But in between, Jai Shri Shri Radha Madhava. So, avyakta dini bhutani bhakta madhani bharata. The basic stage, the basic state of existence of the material nature is avyakta. But madhani, in between this avyakta stages, the material nature becomes manifest. Now, how does the material nature become manifest? That also has been very nicely explained by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. When Krishna says, the aparayam itastannam prakritim vidhi me param jiva bhutang mahabahu jajidam dharjate jagat. This apara prakriti, the inferior nature of Krishna, or rather this material nature is the inferior nature of Krishna, aparayam. But itastu annam, but beyond this material nature there is a para prakriti or a superior nature. Prakritim vidhi me param. And jiva bhutang mahabaho jajidang dharjate jagat. The jiva bhutang, the living entities, are coming from that para prakriti, that superior nature. And these living entities are sustaining this material nature. From this point that Krishna made, we can understand that this material nature becomes manifest when the living entities come to this material nature. And when the living entities are withdrawn from the material nature, then the material nature becomes avyakta, unmanifest. So here one important point to note is that the Vaishnava philosophy or Vaishnavas never accept this material nature to be mitha or false or unreal. Only thing is, according to Vaishnava understanding, this material nature is sometimes manifest, sometimes unmanifest. This material nature is a transformation of the spiritual energy of the Lord. Sarvam khallidam brahma, everything is a transformation of brahma. So this material nature is a transformation of brahma. It is not mithya, as the Mayavadis claim this material nature to be. They say that this material nature is false. But Vaishnavas say, no, this material nature is a reflection of the spiritual nature. And this sometimes, this material nature is manifest, and sometimes the material nature is unmanifest. But Prakriti is nitya, which has been also established by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita deals with five aspects: Ishvara, Jiva, Prakriti, Kal, and Karma. But out of these five, four are eternal. Ishvara is eternal, Jiva is eternal, Prakriti is eternal, Kala is eternal, time is eternal. And so Prakriti is eternal according to the understanding of Bhagavad Gita. The only thing that is temporary is karma, the activities of a living entity. That is the only temporary factor. But other four, so from this we can see that this material nature is eternal, because this material nature is Krishna's energy. As Prabhupada pointed out in this Bhagavad Gita, Daivi Jesha Gunamoi Momo Maya Durakaya. Krishna is saying this material nature is consisting of three modes. She is endowed with the three modes, and this material nature is mine. Momo Maya and Durakaya. This material nature is impossible to surmount. And also Krishna mentioned that gunam daivi. Daivi means divine. So this material nature also is divine. Why? Because this nature also is Krishna's energy. Vishnu Shakti Paraprakta Kshetra Gakha Tathapara. Kshetra and Kshetragra. So this material nature is Vishnu Shakti, the energy of Vishnu, which is known as Kshetra. And Krishna is the ultimate Kshetragra. And on a limited scale, the living entity's body is Kshetra, and the living entity's spirit soul is Kshetragra. So this material nature is Krishna's energy. Therefore, Krishna's Shakti is, because material nature is Krishna's Shakti, Krishna's energy, therefore this material nature also is eternal. Since Krishna is eternal, material nature is also eternal. But about the manifested and unmanifested aspects of material nature has been very symbolically or very appropriately analyzed or exemplified through the example that when there is, after monsoon, there is a pool of water in the field. Especially in Mayapur, we notice that after the monsoon, the field becomes waterlogged. And when the field is waterlogged, then we can see the reflection of the trees in that water, in that pool of water. But after the autumn starts, then when the water becomes dry, then the reflection disappears. But although the reflection sometimes appears and sometimes disappears, but the tree is existing irrespective of the accumulation of water in the field. Similarly, this material nature is the reflection of the spiritual nature. And this reflection of this reflection, the material nature, sometimes is visible, or the reflection is there, and sometimes the reflection is not there. But The real reality, the spiritual sky, is eternally existing. Now, the living entities actually sustain this material nature. For example, we can consider that individually, as long as we are in this material nature will be manifest to us. But as soon as we die, this material nature will disappear. Or this material nature will not exist for us. Now, this principle applies to every single individual. As long as we are alive, this material nature is manifest to us. But the moment we die, the material nature will disappear from us. Now, if all the living entities are withdrawn, if there is no living entity in this material nature, then will the material nature be manifest or not? Now the answer is no, the material nature will not be manifest. So this abhyakta stage is the stage when the living entities are withdrawn by Krishna, by Vishnu. And the material nature becomes manifest when the living entities are injected in the womb of this material nature. So, the living entities are injected in the womb of material nature by the glands of Vishnu. Mahavishnu glances to the material nature, and as a result of the glance, the living entities are projected into this material nature, and the material nature becomes agitated. And the material nature becomes manifest. The living entities come to be. Or the living entities, those who are in a dormant stage or in a stage of deep sleep. The Sanskrit expression for that is sushupti. The living entities who are in a sushupti, in a deep slumber. But then they again wake up. And when they wake up, then all the activities start in the material nature. But when the living when Vishnu withdraws his glance, the total annihilation takes place at that time. And all the living entities are withdrawn back to Vishnu. But unfortunately, because those living entities are not Krishna conscious, even though they are very, very close to Vishnu, although they go back to Vishnu, they do not really realize that they have gone back to him. And because their consciousness is in the material nature, they wake up in this material nature again after a long, long time. But it doesn't matter. Long time, when one is asleep, then it doesn't matter whether he slept for 1 second or whether he slept for 1 million kalpas. It doesn't, when one is asleep, then he doesn't have any awareness, doesn't have any consciousness. So, the living entities in this way are sustaining this material nature. Often people ask why Krishna created this material nature. The answer is Krishna didn't create this material nature for his sake. Krishna created this material nature for the sake of the living entities who wanted to enjoy without him. The rebellious living entities wanted to enjoy without Krishna. And Krishna, very mercifully, when he saw that these spirit souls are so adamant that they are not going to listen to any of his advice or reasoning. So Krishna said, okay, go and enjoy yourself. But unfortunately, we cannot enjoy without Krishna in the spiritual sky. Because spiritual sky is the nature of absolute truth. And there is no room for any falsity. Now our trying to enjoy without Krishna or our desire to enjoy independently is a false, is an unreal desire. It can never be successful. Therefore there is no room for fulfilling that desire in the spiritual sky. So Krishna creates this material nature, an illusory nature. where the living entities those who wanted to enjoy independence of Krishna are getting a chance to enjoy. So getting a chance to indulge in so-called enjoyment. But more he tries to enjoy, the more he suffers. And in this way, he learns a lesson. Therefore, sometimes this material nature has been compared to a prison house. In this prison house, prison house is actually a place for rectification, reformation. So the living entities who have developed a contaminated consciousness, polluted consciousness, they are actually being rectified, they processed and rectified in this material nature, in the prison house of this material nature. And how he gets processed here? Like the more he tries to give vent to his desires, the more he endeavors to enjoy independently, the more he suffers. And what is the suffering? The suffering is done by the trident of Devi. Durga has a trident in her hand, and with the trident she kills the demon. So our demoniac propensities, and here the demoniac propensity actually means the desire, the propensity to try to enjoy without Krishna. A demon means a person who competes with Krishna. So we have the demon in our heart who wants to compete with Krishna, who wants to enjoy without Krishna. But more this demon tries to enjoy without Krishna, the more the Maya punishes us with the piercing us with the trident. So the more we try to enjoy, the more we are punished by the trident of Maya. And what are those three shula in the hand of Durga? Is the tritab dukha, the threefold miseries. The adhi-atmik, adhi-doivik, and adhi-bhautik. The more we try to enjoy, the more intense becomes our suffering in this material nature. So in this way, being constantly pierced or poked by the threefold miseries of Maya, at certain point one wonders, now why am I suffering? And at that time, when he becomes Artha, he becomes really distressed, and he prays to Krishna, he turns towards God. Although he may not have the understanding, he may not have any knowledge about God, Krishna, but unconsciously he turns towards Him, that please deliver me from this suffering. Actually, everybody has some understanding of God. Everybody at the heart of his heart is a devotee. So when one turns towards God, Krishna, then this actually is the Agyata Sukriti. He turns towards Krishna and immediately Krishna starts to help him. And as a result of this help, he becomes convinced about Krishna consciousness. The help from Krishna comes in the form of devotees, in the form of Mahaprasad, in the form of Tulasi, in the form of his deity. In various ways, Krishna helps this living entity to come close to him. And he develops faith, Shraddha. And then from Shraddha, he develops the desire to associate with the devotees, Sadhu Sangha. Jai Shri Shri Radha Madhav, Shriman Mahaprabhu ki jai, Jai Shri Shri Prabhupada Vishnu Dev. So when he starts to associate with the sadhus, then he realizes the need of accepting initiation. Then from the sadhus, he selects one particular sadhu who inspires him the most in his spiritual life. and he surrenders unto him. And when he surrenders unto him, unto that sadhu, and starts to render devotional service under the direction of that sadhu, he actually begins his spiritual life in a practical way, bhajana kriya. Kriya means activity. The activity of devotional service begins. And as a result of this bhajana kriya, as a result of rendering devotional service, he becomes free from all his anarthas. He becomes free from all his material contaminations, all his desires to enjoy this material nature. So we can see that our cause of our material bondage is our desire to enjoy. And by rendering devotional service, that desire is uprooted or washed out. Riddhantasya abhadrani bidhunoti suritsatam. Riddhi antastha. In our hearts, we have a lot of abhadra, a lot of contamination, lot of impurities, lot of dirt. And this riddhantasya abhadrani bidhunoti suritsatam. Very quickly is washed out. How? That by nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nittam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. By rendering service to Bhagavat. Now there are two types of Bhagavat. One is the Grantha Bhagavat and the other is Person Bhagavat. And this Grantha Bhagavat does not become manifest without the mercy of a person Bhagavat. Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed the Brahmana that jaho Bhagavat paro Bhagavatasthane. Go study Srimad Bhagavat under the direction of a person Bhagavat. Otherwise Bhagavatam will not become manifest. So the first thing that one must do is to approach a person Bhagavat and start serving him. And as a result of his mercy, Grantha Bhagavat will become manifest in his heart. Dibbo Gyan Ride Prakashita. And that this Grantha Bhagavat is non-different from Krishna. When Krishna disappeared from this material nature, at the end of Dwapar Yuga, with dharma and jnana, then this Srimad Bhagavatam, that is brilliant as the sun, rose in the eastern horizon. The sun, Srimad Bhagavatam, rose in order to light up this dark region known as the material nature. So by rendering service to the Bhagavat, and this has been explained as bhajana kriya stage. Rendering service to a Bhagavat and studying Srimad Bhagavatam under him, and as a result of that, bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. Due to rendering bhajana kriya or rendering devotional service under the direction of a bona fide spiritual master, one develops naishtiki bhakti. That means he develops nishtha. Nishtha means one becomes fixed up in devotional service. One becomes firmly situated in his devotional service. And from nishtha he develops ruchi, taste, ashakti, attachment, roti or bhav. He feels transcendental emotions, and then finally he reaches prema. So in this way, riddhantastha abhadrani bidhunoti suritsatam. The heart becomes purified. Now here, it has been Maitreya Rishi is describing how the spirit soul becomes impure. And the first cause of his impurity is his false ego. Actually, the first cause of his impurity is the desire to enjoy like Krishna. And that gives him the covering of false ego. False ego, a wrong identity, a mistaken identity. He thinks himself to be the master, whereas his actual position is a servant. Actually, he's a servant, but he thinks himself to be a master. So that is a mistaken identity, a distorted identity. So this distorted identity causes him the first covering in this material nature, the covering of false ego. And here it has been described how due to false ego and its interaction with the modes of nature and different other aspects of material nature becomes manifest. Like vaikarik ahankar, there are three modes have been named in Sanskrit as vaikarik, toijash and tamash. Vaikarik means mode of goodness, toijash means mode of passion, and tamash means mode of ignorance. Now our ahankar, our false ego, acts in these three modes in three different ways. As a result of the false ego's interaction with vaikarik ahankara, false ego, mind and demigods are produced. Here it has been explained that as a result of the false ego's interaction with toijash ahankara, the senses are produced. The senses are a product of mode of passion and our false ego. And as a result of tamas ahankar, the sky is produced, or ether, akash is produced. The sky is a product of sound, and sound is the transformation of egotistic passion. In other words, the sky is symbolic representation of the Supreme Soul. That is due to tamasha ahankara, in the mode of ignorance. So actually the subtle element is mind, and the gross element are the five gross elements starts with ether or sky, akash. So as a result of the false ego's interaction with the mode of goodness, mind is produced. And as a result of the interaction between the false ego and mode of ignorance, the gross material elements are gradually produced. The first one to be produced is akash. And as a result of interaction between false ego and passion, the senses are produced. And here Prabhupada is pointing out how false ego actually is godlessness. And as long as we remain atheistic, as long as we do not want to accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead, our false ego, the covering of false ego, will remain. Therefore, we can see from this point, the Mayavadis cannot actually go out of this material nature, which Jiva Goswami also very emphatically pointed out. And in Brahma Sanghita also, this verse have been pointed, this in the purport, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur mentions that same point, that Lord Shiva does not allow. Actually, here also another significant consideration is that Lord Shiva is the controller of tamas, the mode of ignorance. And ahankar is a result of the mode of ignorance. And as long as one maintains his false ego, Lord Shiva does not allow him to get out of the material nature. Actually, Brahma Samhita is describing how the 10 directions are guarded by the tridents, the shulas. And the shulas are actually in the hand of Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is guarding 10 directions, 8 directions and upper and lower directions, which means there is no way one can enter into the spiritual sky avoiding the trident of Lord Shiva as long as one has false ego. Therefore, arujya krichena param padam tato patanti adhah anadrita jushmanam. By means of his great endeavor and austerity, he may be elevated to a great height, which apparently may appear to be the spiritual sky. Param padam tato. But on a patanti adhah, he falls down. Anadrita jushmanam hai, because he disrespected the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of God. As long as he has his false ego, actually higher one goes, his false ego becomes inflated. In that, without accepting Krishna, higher one goes, his false ego becomes more and more intensified. Whereas with Krishna consciousness, it acts in a different way, in an opposite way. Like in Krishna consciousness, as one makes as well advancement, he becomes free from his false ego. And the sign of his freedom from false ego is in his becoming humble. Trinadopi sunichena. The more he makes advancement in Krishna consciousness, the more humble he becomes. Sunichena. So, the process of devotional service and the process of jnana or knowledge, which is actually falling into the category of jnana yoga, this kind of endeavors without accepting the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Mayavadis, the mental speculators, the higher they go, their false ego becomes more and more intensified. And it becomes so intense that at certain height, they think that they become God. They have become God. They think, they say, Aham Brahmasmi. Now I have become God. I have become Brahma. I have become the Absolute. So in this way, we can understand that the best way to become free from our material bondage is to become surrendered to the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we need to get out of this material nature, we need to become free from the bondage of this material nature, because otherwise we will be suffering. We are suffering and we will continue to suffer unless and until we become surrendered to the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the via media of his devotees. One cannot directly become surrendered at the lotus feet of the Lord. One must be surrendered at his feet through the via medium of a devotee. And that devotee is the spiritual master, the representative of the Supreme Personality of God. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, all I want is to become Gopi Bhattu Pada Kamalayo, Dasho Anudasho Dasho Ashmi. Becoming a servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. So the best way to approach Krishna is through his devotees. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Does anybody have, Maharaj, do you have any comment? Yeah, the questions are, first question is, there's a British phrase that at the time of death, everybody thinks of God. So, if it's true, like if everybody thinks of God at the time of death, now does this faith have any benefit? Because, or behind that faith, some conviction, or behind thinking of God, some faith is actually necessary. Am I right? That's the first question. And anyway, I'll come to the second question. So, to tell you frankly, I don't really know whether everybody does think of God at the time of death. Because Prabhupada once gave an example that how strong the enjoying spirit is there in the living entity. And he gave an example that a man was dying He was at the deathbed, you know, and at that time the king entered with the princess, a very beautiful, and his eyes went straight to the princess. And Prabhupada was pointing out that even at the time of death, he is thinking of sex life. So, this is apparently one, it may seem that one is thinking of God, but, you know, like at the time of death, it is questionable, really at the time, whether he can fix his mind on God. Now, and second point in this respect is that in order to think about God, one has to have a considerable understanding of God. Now people, those who squandered their whole life without even giving a damn about God, you know, I have my doubts, you know, how they're going to think of Him at the time of death. So out of fear, they may, you know, try to surrender unto somebody. For example, Ajamil, at the time when he saw the Jamadutas, even though he had some understanding about God, he didn't think of Narayan, he thought of his son. Another example I can give is Bharat Maharaj. At the time of death, he thought of the deer. So even such exalted personalities couldn't think of Krishna at the time of death. And even though if somebody, and therefore Prabhupada constantly reminded us that in order to remember Krishna at the time of death, we have to prepare ourselves when we are alive. And the second question is, Agyata Sukriti, whether it remains in... If we consider Rupa Goswami's statement that all spiritual, there is no loss or diminution of our spiritual accumulation. It continues life after life. So even if one acquired some Agyata Sukriti in one life, it will continue life after life till it further fructifies by the touch of a devotee through the process of hearing and chanting.
But then that's one type of devotional service. It's not just the material sukriti, it's sukriti
and sukriti. Yeah, Agyata Sukriti. You see, there is a difference between punya and sukriti. The punya is material, and the result of punya is also material. Whereas sukriti is spiritual. Sukriti is when it is somehow or other related to Krishna. Therefore, even though it is agyata, but it is actually a very initial, very preliminary stage of devotional service. In that respect, I can actually quote Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in Madhurya Kadambini. He is actually making a point. Now, Adho Shraddha, in the beginning there is Shraddha. Now he is presenting a question. Then how does Shraddha arise? Now, what is the cause of Shraddha? And he is answering that cause of Shraddha is actually Agyata Sukriti. So that is the very beginning, a very initial stage of devotional development. Yes, Krishna Kshetra Prabhu. Like if we relate to that verse, Jajedam Dharjate Jagat, Jiva Bhutang Mahabaho, Jajedam Dharjate Jagat. The living entities who came from the spiritual nature are sustaining this material nature. Right? So if we, of course, like one consideration is, the analogies should not be taken completely. The analogies are meant to make one point. But still, if we extend that point, then that this analogy of living entities being the water is quite appropriate. Yes, Maharaj.
In the 15th chapter, Prabhupada material desires.
Yeah, right. Material desires of living entities. Right. Right. Okay, Hare Krishna.